Waterdeep? She whispered. The lords of that greatest of cities would certainly be investigating the strange happenings, but how might she, a dirty girl from another part of the world, garner any information from those haughty ones? For she was not Princess Catti Bree of Mithril Hall any longer, but merely little Rukia of the Desai, and no one of note. She thought of Candle Keep, the famed library along the coast south of Waterdeep. If any in all the realms were going to figure out what was going on here, it would be the sages of that most learned of places. But again, how might she gain entrance to such a place? She lifted her arms and shook them, her sleeves falling back. Her spell scars? Would they get her in? But they didn't even look like scars any longer. Any skilled tattooist along the Sword Coast could create the markings inside Catti Bree's forearms. The woman blew out a deep breath and called upon the spell scars then, thinking to shapeshift and be on her way, whichever way she might decide. Catti Bree closed her eyes and focused on the markings, willing herself again to become a great eagle. Nothing happened. She opened her eyes and looked down at her arms. No mist began to form, no hint of magic to be found. She couldn't shapeshift. She couldn't become an eagle, a mouse, or a wolf. The notion struck her profoundly. She remained hundreds of miles from Icewind Dale, and now, so suddenly, the road appeared much more perilous and uncertain. Catti Bree forced herself to calm down and rationally played through her options. Even without the shapeshift, and without the storm calling and lightning bolts, she was a disciple of Mialiki with powers divine, and she was a mage, trained in Silvery Moon, trained in Shade Enclave. She was not a little lost child on the open road. She was Catti Bree, who had passed this way before in another life. She could fight, and she could enact magic, both divine and arcane. She glanced around, then began to climb one of the pines for a better view. Her injured leg ached for the effort and the deep bending, despite the magic she had enacted upon it. She thought back to the previous day when she had been flying on high. Just to the west of her lay a road, she recalled, and she nodded, for she knew that road, the Long Road it had once been named. And she smiled as she considered where that road might take her, and what she might learn when she got to that particular destination. She found an appropriate length of wood to use as a walking stick and set out determinedly. She was Catti Bree. She had returned by the will of Mialiki and for a great purpose, and she would not falter. She made the road, or what was left of it, for now it was an old and little-used trail, that afternoon, and turned to the north. Her leg ached, but she did not stop and did not slow. The sunlight began to fade, the night descending upon the land, and Catti Bree began to search for an appropriate campsite. She moved off the road, up the side of a small hillock. She had just begun to construct a fire pit, complete with rocks around its edges to shield flames from distant eyes, when the sky to the north lit up suddenly with a great burst of orange flames. Catti Bree rushed to the northern edge of the hillock and peered off into the distance. A lightning bolt split the night sky, a fireball followed, and then a starburst of multicolored sparks and flares of such magnificence that it made the woman giggle in appreciation. She heard the distant sound of the explosions a few moments later, along with what sounded like a cacophony of cheers. Another fireball ignited, this one lower to the ground, illuminating the land below to reveal a large mansion set upon a hill. "Long Saddle!" Catti Bree cried, and it wasn't so far. All thoughts of camping flew from her then, and she started off with renewed determination. The night darkened around her. The long road seemed in places little more than a wagon rut, but the explosions continued in the north, guiding her way, and soon after, she entered the village of Long Saddle, home of the Harples, a place she had visited in her previous life on several occasions. All of the townsfolk were outside, it seemed, hundreds of people cheering and dancing at the spectacle on the hill, the spectacle on the grounds of the Ivy Mansion, home of the Harples, where the wizards plied their trade in a grand celebration, it seemed, throwing fire and lightning and all sorts of spectacular Dwyamers up into the air in a great and splendid display.
"What is it?" Caterbury asked a young couple she encountered at the base of the hill.
"None seem to know," the man answered. "But our Harple wizards appear to be in a festive and fine mood this evening."
Caterbury moved around the gathering, gaining the road that led up to the gate of the house on the hill. It appeared as no more than a 10-stride reach of fence, unattached on either end, but Caterbury knew better. For stretching out from either side was an invisible wall encircling the whole of the hill and mansion. She arrived at the gate and called out, but none heard or reacted. She could see them then, wizards atop the hill, many on the mansion's roof, cheering and throwing their spells one after another. Caterbury called out again, and when that didn't work, the woman began to whisper a spell of her own. Up in the air above flew the fiery pea, erupting into a fireball of her own making. The people below her cried out and fell back in surprise and fear, no doubt. And from above her came shouts and warnings, and the wizard scrambled. In short order, she was confronted by the town guard from below, and soon after that, by a group of Harples from the other side of the gate.
"Who are you? Who throws magic unbidden in Long Saddle?"
one wiry old mage in rumpled robes asked. In response, Caterbury lifted her arms and shook them, her sleeves falling clear of the markings.
"A friend," she said, "though I've not been here in many years."
The wiry old mage came closer and looked her over.
"I don't know you."
"No," she agreed, shaking her head. "But I know of you, of the Harples at least. And some once knew me as a friend. When I tell you my tale, you will understand."
"Go on, then," he demanded.
Caterbury glanced over her shoulder at the town guard, then back at the mage doubtfully.
"Come along, then,"
demanded a man behind her, but as he approached, the wiry wizard held up his hand.
"Once I knew of Harkle,"
Caterbury dared to admit, hoping that name from yesteryear would spark some recognition.
"Once I knew of Bitterdew."
"The Bitterdews?"
the man behind her gasped and fell back, shaking his head. Caterbury glanced at him curiously, not quite understanding the reference or why he had used the plural form of the name. She shook her head and looked back to the mage, to find him already fumbling with the gate. He and the others waved her in and escorted her up the hill.